بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the merciful, the compassionate, and may peace and blessings be upon His final messenger Muhammad and his family and companions. We ask Allah Ta'ala to increase us in knowledge and benefit us by what He has taught us and to teach us what will benefit us. We ask Him to give us the tawfiq to do what is pleasing to Him and that which He loves. And may peace and blessings be upon His final messenger. Respected brothers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we ask Allah to accept from all of you. Today we'll be continuing in a talk that we began a couple of weeks ago, which is on the foundations of calling to the way of Allah. The foundations of da'wah to the deen of Allah Ta'ala. And the topic that was chosen for tonight by the brothers was the way that the companions, the righteous companions of the Prophet ﷺ, spread Islam. So to begin with that topic, when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, the righteous Sahaba, they spread out throughout the earth, not fearing anyone but Allah Ta'ala, either fighting those who oppose the deen of Allah, or explaining the rulings of Islam and the aqidah of Islam in a very clear and strong and succinct way. Wherever they went, they brought the message of Islam, and these were the two things that they taught the people. One is that we should be sincere to Allah alone, and only worship is due to Allah alone. What is that called? Tawheed of Allah. And number two, they taught people to follow the commandments of Allah, the Sharia of Islam, and to obey and follow the rules of Allah, and that nobody's rules should be followed except the rules of Allah Ta'ala. This is what the Sahaba, they did as soon as the Prophet ﷺ passed away. And this is what Allah had commanded the Muslims in the Quran al-Azim. He said, O mankind, worship your Lord. Ya ayyuha an-nas, u'budu rabbakum. O mankind, worship your Lord alone. And Allah says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا. Allah has commanded to worship no one except Him. See, these ayahs, they teach us the concept of tawheed. The scholars, they also mention the verse in Surah Al-Fatiha. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek help. This is what the Sahaba, when they went out throughout the earth, this is what they were calling the people to. And then Allah says, indeed my prayer and my sacrifice, my living and my dying are for Allah alone. He has no partner. So the Sahaba, when they spread out throughout the earth, these are the things they called to. They're the Tawheed of Allah Ta'ala, and they had patience in calling to this word. They had no fear. They spread throughout the earth to the corners of the earth, calling people to this message. And when they passed away, the companions of the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, they continued on that path. They had the qualities of truthfulness, of sincerity. They were so sincere. These Sahaba, that when they spread on the earth, they had this, the siddiq, the truthfulness for Allah Ta'ala. They had sincerity. They fought anybody who opposed the message or obstructed the message from being spread. And anybody who refused to pay the jizya, they were willing to give up their life for this message. So this is what we learn from the Sahaba. Now when we look at what happened after the time of the righteous predecessors, we look at the condition that the Muslims have fallen into. What is the condition, or why are we in the condition today of humiliation, when in the time of the Sahaba they were given victory throughout the earth? If we look to the Quran al-Azim, the scholars, they say that when the Muslims abandoned Islam, then they split up into the different groups. They split up into different groups fighting amongst each other. They preferred to follow their whims and desires than to make the struggle and the jihad fi sabilillah. They preferred to follow their own feelings and whims and desires. Listen to this amazing verse from the Quran al-Azim. Allah says, indeed Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change what is within themselves. And the context of the verse is that Allah will not make the condition of the people worse until they become worse within themselves. And this is actually what happened when the Muslims, they became away from the deen of Allah Ta'ala within themselves, their own practice of deen. Then Allah reduced the condition of the believers into fighting and breaking up into different groups. So what we have to do in order to follow on the footsteps of the Sahaba, we have to go back to the sincere worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repenting to Him and distancing ourselves from any type of shirk with Allah ta'ala. We have to make the Sharia the most important law that we call people to. And what happened is the scholars also felt negligent in clarifying the rulings of Sharia to the people. So people, they became ignorant of the Sharia and the laws of Islam. They did not understand the wisdom of the laws of Islam and the importance of commanding to good and forbidding evil. So this is what we have to do. Explain the wisdom, and the scholars, they must teach the people the Sharia. The people should be made to adhere to the Sharia. And we also have to fight against the false ideologies, such as nationalism, such as what they call Ba'athiyya, parties that preach nationalism with anything other than Islam. Also, what they have, ideas like socialism, or anything that contradicts the Sharia. This is what needs to be done. And if we do that, if Muslims strive to do that, Allah will reform the condition of the Ummah and make them powerful and victorious over their enemies. Allah says, وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The scholars, they say that, what does this ayah mean? It is the due right upon us, Allah, to give victory to whom? To the mu'mineen. Right? So if Muslims, they return to their deen, then it is a right upon Allah that He will give them victory, as the ulama, they mention. And also we see the verse that Allah says, we will give victory to our messengers. Inna lanansuru rusulana walladhina amanu fil hayati dunya wa yawma yaqumul ashhad. Allah says, we will give victory to our messengers and those who believe in the dunya and the day that the witnesses will be brought forward. So what happened to the ummah is that they turned away from their religion, they stopped learning and seeking knowledge about their deen. They became ignorant of the deen, ignorant of the rulings, ignorant about the Sharia, and they fell short in being truthful and patient in giving da'wah. They stopped giving the da'wah to the deen of Allah. They stopped having patience in giving da'wah and enduring harm for its sake. They took the easy life, which was to follow their own desires, and abandoned calling to the deen of Allah. And as a result of this, ignorance spread, and the majority of people are ignorant about the laws of Islam and are in great confusion. Okay, is that clear up to here? About how the Sahaba, the effort they made was to teach the laws of Sharia to the people in Tawheed. When people left that, they became ignorant of Tawheed, they became ignorant of the Sharia and the Fiqh and the rulings, and they stopped giving da'wah, then Allah caused people to follow their whims and split up into groups. That's the present condition that we have. So now, the question is, how do we rectify the situation? What should we do as individuals to rectify or make the condition of the ummah better, right? Isn't that what all of us want to do? We want to be da'is, inshallah. We want to help call people to the deen of Allah. So what qualities do we need to possess? What are the qualities that we need to possess to be good callers to the deen of Allah? Who can tell me? What are some qualities that we need in order to teach? Wisdom, yes, very good. Before wisdom.
Patience.
Before patience.
Knowledge.
The first thing, even before knowledge, you could say, or part of knowledge, sincerity. The scholars, they mention sincerity first and foremost. That we must have sincerity and not do it, not call to the deen of Allah seeking to show off, seeking to get a name and fame, what they call sum'a. We shouldn't, when we make this effort to give da'wah, we want to be a da'i. We shouldn't do it to show off to the people. We should not do it to get famous or to be known amongst the people. It has to be done for the sake of Allah alone. Because if somebody does any action, if it's not sincerely for Allah's sake, then what happens is it will be cancelled out on the Day of Judgment. It will not be accepted by Allah Ta'ala. So number one, we have to have sincerity to Allah Ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. Part of being sincere is that we seek, what does sincerity mean? Sincerity, it means, what is your goal by giving da'wah? What are you seeking by giving da'wah? What is the goal that we seek? Seeking Allah's pleasure and seeking His countenance, His reward on the Akhirah. That is true sincerity. Wanting to please Allah and getting His reward on the Day of Judgment. This is what sincerity means. Whenever we want to improve our sincerity, these are the two things we should put in our hearts. Seeking, making Allah pleased, seeking His face, His countenance on the Day of Judgment in the paradise. Inshallah. Okay? And what part of sincerity means that we don't call people to a particular view or person or madhab. Because if we're sincere for the sake of Allah, we don't want to just strengthen a particular madhab or a particular view. We want to call people to the deen of Allah Ta'ala. So it shouldn't be that we call people to only one opinion or one madhab to the detriment of others and call people away from any other rulings or opinions. And so it's necessary to be sincere. And Allah says, "Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah," with wisdom, call to the way of your Lord with wisdom and a beautiful preaching. Number two, somebody mentioned knowledge, right? Number two, the next quality that the da'i, the one who calls to Allah, must have is knowledge. Person must have knowledge. And Allah says, "Say, this is my path. I call to Allah on clear certain knowledge. Ud'adu ila Allahi ala basira." Basira, does anybody know what basira means? Clarity. Clarity. And what clarity here means, the scholars explain it, it means knowledge. We call to the way of Allah on certain knowledge. Clarity, not just shaky knowledge, but certain strong knowledge. So the caller to the way of Allah, he must be equipped with knowledge. He must have knowledge. And we should beware, every da'i should beware of speaking without knowledge. To say things that are not based on knowledge. Because the ignorant person, does he build or does he destroy? The ignorant person, he destroys much more than he builds. Right? So we have to have the knowledge. We have to gain the knowledge, the basira. And the basira, what the knowledge means, it doesn't mean math and science. What does it mean by knowledge? It means knowing what Allah and His Messenger taught. This is the, as it was conveyed to us through the ulama. Part of also calling to the way of Allah on certain knowledge means that when something becomes clear or apparent to us that it's wrong, then we leave that. And we call people and tell people to stay away from it. And something, it becomes clear to us that it's right, we should follow it and call people to follow that. This is what part of knowledge is. Okay, so first one is what? First quality of a da'i?
Sincerity.
What's the second one?
Knowledge.
What's the third quality that the da'i needs? Close to that.
Perseverance.
Yes. Kind of the same. Kindness and understanding. Being kind. Right? When you want to give da'wah, it requires a kind approach to the person. The da'i has to be forbearing. Patient, like you said. Kind with the person. He should be aware or beware of one of the most dangerous things, which is being too hasty. Being hasty, being harsh, then this will push people away from the deen of Allah Ta'ala. So beware of being hasty, violent, and harsh. Have patience and understanding when you're giving da'wah. And be gentle in your da'wah. What is the proof for that? Allah says, call to the way of your Lord with wisdom. وَمَوْعِذَةٍ حَسَنَةٍ. Call to the way of your Lord with wisdom and a beautiful preaching. مَوْعِذَة means warning, or and حَسَنَة means beautiful. A beautiful speech. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. And argue with them in a way that is better. SubhanAllah. So this is one of the things. And Allah says to the Prophet ﷺ, it is a mercy from him that you were easy with them. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. You were laying easy with them. And Allah, he tells Musa and Fir'aun, Musa and Harun, go to Fir'aun and say, قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. An easy word. Right? So these are different advice from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the da'i, he should, what we should do, should we make things difficult or easy for people? Easy. Right? The person calling to Allah, he should make it easy so people don't run away from the religion. They don't flee away from the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Should not be offensive and harmful. We should be patient, gentle, soft, and good in speech, because you're speaking to the heart of your brother. And the hearts, in order for the word to go into the heart, it has to be accompanied by gentleness. This is the nature of the heart. So the person has to like what he's hearing in order for it to penetrate into his heart. As for violence, being harsh and violent and leads people to run away from the message, that is not the way, rather it causes division. The Prophet ﷺ, he encouraged us to be gentle. And he said in a hadith that was narrated by Imam Muslim, whenever gentleness is in something, it beautifies it. And whenever gentleness is absent from something, it makes it ugly or leaves it to be deficient. And then he said, whoever is deprived of gentleness, then he is deprived of all goodness. Now, okay, so using kindness and gentleness is a sifa, a quality of the da'i. However, what if the person that one is calling is stubborn and rebellious and very harsh and will not listen to the gentle words of admonition? Should one be a little bit stronger with them? Yes?
Even easier.
Even easier. Okay, you tried being easy and you did everything you could, yet the person is very oppressive and harsh. Right. The scholars say that at some point, if kindness does not work, it may be required to be strong with some types of personalities, to be strong on the deen. Being too lenient and too easy, they might take advantage of that. So there will be times when it is required for the da'i to take a firm stand. And the proof for that, Allah says, O Prophet, يَا أَيُّوَ النَّبِيِّ جَاهِدِ الْكُفَّارَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ وَغْلُظْ عَلَيْهِمْ. O Prophet of Allah, strive against the disbelievers and the hypocrites and be strong, be غَلِيظ, severe against them. So in certain cases, one might have to be strong. But the other texts, many, many other texts, they indicate softness and gentleness. And so in all cases, the da'i should be very careful to resort to being harsh. Should only do it when absolutely necessary. But rather he should always try the first method, which is being as gentle as possible. And usually violence and being strong, it just deters people away from the deen. And it makes those people who are opposed to the truth go further away. In all cases, we should make sure that our method of da'wah does not deter people from Islam. If someone is giving da'wah and people running away from Islam, he's doing something wrong. His way of da'wah should bring people to Islam, shouldn't make people, everybody's running away whenever he tries to give da'wah. That means he has to have more gentleness, or he should find a way that will not deter people from Islam. This is what the scholars, they say. The next quality, what was the first one?
Sincerity.
Second one?
None.
Third one?
Kindness.
Kindness and gentleness. The fourth one, fourth quality of the da'i, is to adhere to the Qur'an and Sunnah. This is a very important quality. Many people, they give da'wah, but they don't know they don't adhere to the Qur'an and Sunnah. They call people, but they themselves do not adhere to the Qur'an and Sunnah. So this is a very important quality, that a da'i, they should have learn the Qur'an, learn how to understand the Qur'an and apply the Qur'an. This is a very, very important quality. We should devote our full attention to the Qur'an so that the Qur'an becomes our character. It becomes the methodology by which we traverse upon in calling people. Okay, so here Allah says, "Inna hadha al-Qur'ana yahdi lillati hiya aqwam." This Qur'an calls or guides to the straight and upright path. Now, and Allah says, "Liyadabbaru ayati." Reflect. Dabbara, tadabbara means to reflect. So this Qur'an that Allah sent down, it was so that we can understand and reflect upon it. So the da'i should adhere to the Qur'an and the sunnah. Because the sunnah is an explanation of the Qur'an. And of course the ulama explained the sunnah to us. Naam. And this is what people of knowledge of intellect, they reflect upon the verses of the book of Allah. We have to refer to the people of knowledge. When it comes to the Qur'an and understanding it, we have to refer to the people of knowledge, the scholars who can explain. If there's any confusion, we should not hesitate to ask the people of knowledge. There's an issue or we're thinking about, we read in the Qur'an, what does this ayah mean? What is the context? Right away we should ask the people of knowledge. This is how we benefit from the Qur'an. And of course you can look at books called Tafsir. Tafsir, explanation of the Qur'an, inshaAllah ta'ala. Okay, so the fourth is adhering to the Qur'an and Sunnah. Yeah? And reflecting on the Qur'an and seeking clarification from the ulama. Very good. Number five. The fifth quality that a da'i must possess is using the hikmah. Using the hikmah. Using wisdom and giving da'wah. What does it mean using wisdom to give da'wah? What does it mean? Some scholars, they said that wisdom means when you call people to Allah, say you're debating with an atheist, wisdom means using the verses of the Qur'an and the Hadith to debate somebody. They say this is wisdom. Because the Qur'an and Sunnah itself is wisdom. So when you're talking to somebody, say you're debating an atheist, so you bring verses from the Qur'an, you bring a Hadith as a response to them. They say this is what hikmah is. Does that make sense? Some ulama, they said hikmah means speaking in the language of the people so that they understand the language. Going back to the Qur'an and the Hadith, the reason why the Qur'an and the Hadith are wisdom because they are the laws, the prohibitions and the wise words that take people out of falsehood into light. When the Qur'an came down, it brought the Sahaba out of their darkness, their jahiliyyah, into the light. So the Qur'an itself is a means of bringing people out of darkness into light. So if we use these verses of the Qur'an and the Hadith to explain to people, it will bring them out of their darkness into the light. This is what the ulama, they mentioned. Also they say explaining in a clear and effective fashion. When we give da'wah, should we be mumbling and saying things in a confusing way? It has to be explained in a very clear and effective fashion. So people, they hear it and they understand it and they benefit from it. And also it means that in a way that the people who are hearing the da'wah understand what is being said. Also, what it means with wisdom is that the da'wah, it removes any doubts in the mind of the person. If we're using the hikmah when we call somebody, then that hikmah will result in removing the doubt that they had in their mind. So the da'i, he should be like a psychologist. He should be like psychologist, he's analyzing the minds of the people he's calling. He knows what doubt is behind in their mind, and so he uses the wisdom to remove that ambiguity from his mind. See that? The da'i, he should be able to analyze his audience or the people he's calling to see the problem or the confusion or the ambiguity, and then use the wisdom to answer and remove that ambiguity. Does that make sense? The hikmah? Does everybody understand the hikmah? It's a very important quality, right? In the da'i, would you agree? Yes. Very, very important quality to have the wisdom. Right, Asan? Okay. Another part of wisdom, the scholars, they say, is to use the method that will have an effect on the person. So if they want to preach to them, they can use hope and fear. Like some people, you explain the ruling, they don't accept it. So then you give them hope. You say, you know how much reward it is for praying in the masjid, brother. 27 times reward coming to the house of Allah Ta'ala. How much reward for sitting in the halaqah of knowledge. Learning one fiqh mas'ala, some scholars say, is like 60 years of worship. So you give them, you know, encouragement. The person is so far astray, they don't want to come to the masjid, they never prayed. So then you tried encouraging them. So now you say, brother, you know the punishment for abandoning Salah. Some scholars say a person becomes non-Muslim. Some scholars say the person becomes a very big sinner. So, and they're on the edge of kufr. So then you try using fear. You use both means, whichever one will have an effect on a person. Some scholars say this is a type of hikmah, the type of wisdom in dealing, knowing which way will work on the person. You try the hope, giving him tarhib, now you try tarhib, or you use a balance of the two, inshallah.
Good
mouth. Yes?
Good mouth.
Yes, see, this is a good example, that you could use food as a means of giving hope and tarhib. So you use food for the person. Sometimes for children, for example, people start with tarheeb, you're going to get punished. And that actually, if you give them some incentive, that works better a lot of times. So you pray the salam, if you don't pray the salam, you're going to get punished. Kids will run away. But then you say, if you pray your salah, this toy that you wanted, or this candy, they'll come running and join you in the salah. If you look in the seerah of the Prophet, which way did he use more? The tarheeb, the hope, or the tarheeb, the scaring? Especially with the children.
Hope.
The children, he used the hope more, right? You see, the way he dealt with children was more using tarheeb, although he did say on some occasions to use the tarheeb, such as spanking the child when he reaches a certain age if he still doesn't pray. Okay, so the fifth characteristic was using the hikmah in the da'wah. I'm going to give you a quiz in the end, see if you're paying attention. Number six is being a good example. Being a good example. Right? So the da'i, he should be the example for the person he's trying to give da'wah to. Allah says, O you who believe, why do you say what you do not do? يَا أَيُّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَا تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ O you who believe, why do you say what you're not doing? كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ تَقُولَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ It is a big, hateful thing in the sight of Allah to say that what you do not do. So, calling people is not just with the tongue, but it's with the actions. Our behavior, our character, our akhlaq, our example, right? The prophets, alayhim as-salam, their da'wah, you see that many people were affected more by their behavior than by their speech. And many times, people, they were affected by their whole way of life. They saw the way of life of the Muslim, and they liked it, and they wanted to become Muslim. So the person should be a role model, an example for people from their conduct, from their character. This works especially... It works especially when people have less knowledge. People who do not have a lot of knowledge, or in the general population, sometimes they don't understand the explanations. Sometimes they just see your character, they see the way you behave, that has more effect on them. Common people that don't are not really highly educated or that much knowledgeable, they just see your behavior, they like it, and they want to become Muslim. So that has a big effect on people. So a righteous lifestyle and a good character that matches the words of Dawah. Okay, so that is the sixth quality, to be an example. Number seven is a very, very important one. To apply what he says. To apply what he says. The da'i, he must do what he says. Allah says, who is better in speech than the one who calls to Allah? And he does righteous deeds. So a person, a quality of the da'i is that he has to follow up the speech with the actions that fulfill, or he should not command to a thing and then not do it. He should not forbid a thing and then he goes and does it. And there's a very, very stern hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said that in the hellfire he saw people who were thrown in the hellfire and their guts were falling out and they were going around like the mules going around a pillar, around their intestines falling out. So he said, who are these people? And it was said that it will be said to them, didn't you used to command people to do good? And they will say, yes, we did. And you forbade people from evil? They said, yes, I enjoined good and forbade evil, but I never practiced it myself. I used to command to good and I didn't do it. I used to forbid evil and I used to practice it myself. This hadith is agreed upon in Bukhari and Muslim. Authentic hadith. May Allah save us from that. So a person, his actions should not contradict his words. A da'i, his actions should not contradict his words. And he has to desist from that which he forbids. Now. Okay. The eighth quality of the da'i. Taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To have the taqwa of Allah ta'ala. Naam. So having taqwa of Allah means being mindful of Allah. And being mindful of Allah isn't just when you're relaxed and sitting in the masjid. Being mindful of Allah is when you have hardships and ordeals. People are harsh, people are insulting you, people are cursing you. And then being mindful of Allah at those times, the difficult times, when everything is against you, having the consciousness of Allah and having the taqwa of Allah. We should always, one of the shuyukh, he told me, how do we keep patient? How when somebody's very upset, how does he keep patient? What should he do? Be conscious of Allah, but he's in a state, he's so angry, and just thinking of Allah, he can't, that's not enough to... Some scholars, they said that you think of those people who had more patience than you. You think of what they went through. So, for example, the Prophet ﷺ, when they accused him of not distributing the wealth fairly, which was completely not true, but that was very offensive to say that. It's kufr, actually, for somebody to say that to the Prophet ﷺ. He became very upset, but he said, may Allah have mercy on Musa. He thought about Musa. He had patience with his people when they used to say things like that. So he thought about Musa and how he had patience. So when we have issues or we're dealing with people, we think about Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, how he kept patient. And we think of him when we have that when people are mocking and ridiculing Islam, for example. Sometimes you deal with people, they're mocking Islam, ridiculing Islam. So to have taqwa of Allah and be mindful of him and follow in the ones who did righteousness. Number 10 or number 9 for us is, this is very, very important, making da'wah for the ones who you're calling to Islam. Making du'a. Making du'a for the ones you're giving da'wah to. Praying for them to be guided. Person, when he gives da'wah to a people, he has to make du'a to Allah that Allah guide them. No matter how much they oppose him. You know how the Prophet there was a tribe called the Dos tribe. And the Dos tribe, they disobeyed the Prophet. And you know what the Prophet said? May Allah guide the people of Dos. He didn't say, curses be upon them, they disobeyed them. So, no. He said, may Allah guide the people of Dos and let them embrace Islam. So making dua for those people who are trying to give dawah to, this is from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. However, if somebody is oppressive and shows aggression against the deen of Allah Ta'ala, then there's a permission that we do not, then this is a different matter. Allah says, do not argue with the people of the book except with what is better, except those who are oppressive from amongst them. So if somebody is oppressive against the deen of Allah, then one doesn't have to make dua for their guidance. It's a different matter. Except the ones who are oppressive against the deen of Allah. Here's a good point for us, especially the young brothers here in the audience. What is this point? To not be embarrassed when giving da'wah. Don't be shy about being Muslim. One cannot, this is very important, one should not feel shyness when he's giving da'wah. You shouldn't be ashamed to say, I'm Muslim. Right? How can you give da'wah if you're ashamed to say you're Muslim? One should not be ashamed. They should be. Indeed, he should be delighted to tell people he's a Muslim. And he should not be moved by honoring or flattering people. If he thinks that if I hide my identity or I hide my Islam, then when people get to know me and then I'm friends with them, then I'll tell them I'm Muslim. No. That's not how scholars say. They say he should be proud of his deen. Be proud of Islam and then tell people about the message of Islam. Now, following the truth, the 12th characteristic of the da'i is that he must follow the truth. That is, if he's following a particular imam or a particular scholar and it's made clear to him, or he has a certain view himself and it's made clear to him that the truth is somewhere else, he should follow the truth. It's a very important quality. And we should realize that all the scholars and imams, they, if they made a ruling, if they got it right, they get two rewards. If they got it wrong, they still get a reward. So all of the scholars, they made their effort, and Allah will reward them for it. Okay, a very important quality of the da'i. This is a very critical quality of the da'i. It's to start with what is more important, and then go to what is less important after that. And the scholars, they say, Sheikh here, he mentions in the book, that the da'i, the caller to Allah, especially the prophets, they were like physicians. Physicians, right? So if you go to an emergency room, they have something called triage. I don't know if you heard of this. Triage means that you have different levels of priority. Somebody who's dying from a heart attack is not the same as somebody who has a 2-degree fever or some small amount of fever. There's a level. Somebody comes to you and he's dying from a wound that's bleeding, and then you treat him for, you know, some minor illness. This is not correct. We should start with what is more dangerous, more harmful. So what did the messengers do? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he began with the greatest illness, which is shirk with Allah Ta'ala. The tawheed, calling to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what one should work on first. I hear a lot of times when you're dealing with sometimes non-Muslims, they'll take these tangential issues in the deen and they ignore the biggest issue, which is the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like for example, this happened to me. I was dealing with a person who was an atheist. So somebody doesn't believe in Allah Ta'ala. It doesn't make any benefit to talk to them about hijab. What are the virtues of hijab? Why do we wear hijab? They say, Allah obliges it. Well, they don't believe in Allah in the first place. So starting with the tawheed of Allah Ta'ala, teaching them the tawheed, the oneness of Allah, that Allah created us, we were here to obey Him. The purpose of this life is the worship of Allah Ta'ala. There's no deity, nothing worshipped in truth except Allah. No partners, He has no children. He's the creator, He's the originator. This is the foundation of the dawah. And then moving on to other things after that, such as the rulings and commandments of Sharia, how to pray, and the remaining laws. Right? So starting with what is more important. If somebody is giving dawah to Muslims, it may be possible to move on to other issues because they're already Muslim. They can start with what is more, beneficial to that particular group of people. And if somebody finds that the tawheed, he tried to call a person to tawheed, to the oneness of Allah, and they didn't respond, then they might find it beneficial to move on to another issue and come back to tawheed later on. There might be some cases with some people where you try to teach them about tawheed, right now there's a block or they're thinking about it, then we can move on to other issues in the deen and come back to it. But whenever we look at the imams, the sahaba, and the prophets, this was the methodology they used. They started with what was more important, they purified their intention, they searched for the truth, and they asked Allah to guide them and give them the ability to call people to the dawah. They consulted the people of knowledge and experience, and they left the things that are unclear to them. Whoever does this, then they will be successful. There's one verse in the Quran that Allah talks about how He guides people who struggle in His path. مَنْ جَاهَدَ فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبَلَنَا. Whoever strives in our way, whoever makes jihad in our way, we will guide them to our pathways. So if we make this effort, we follow these steps, then Allah will guide us. Also, one thing that's very important is that when we call to the deen of Allah, we should make sure that we're certain that this is correct. We should research the issues and listen, refer to the ulama, and refer everything back to the Quran and the Sunnah. This should always be our scale of what is right and wrong whenever we call people to the deen of Allah Ta'ala. One has to be aware of their own biases, their own traditions, their own thinking. They have to put those aside and stick with the commandments of Allah. They shouldn't be following their own tribe or their own whims and desires. Just a few more minutes, inshallah ta'ala. We'll finish by 9 o'clock. We'll give you time for questions too, inshallah ta'ala. That's okay with your brother. Alright, asking the scholars and valuing them. This is a very valuable lesson. On asking the scholars and valuing them, we have to realize that as in the path of dawah, the scholars are the ones who have the light of knowledge. So we should supplicate for them. We should know that they're the ones who make clear for us the path of what is right. So we should make dua for them. And the scholars, they have the virtue of knowledge that was passed down from the pious predecessors, from the imams, from the sahaba, until our time. So somebody does not have a value for the scholars, he will not be able to make dawah. Because he is cutting himself off from the lineage, the chain of succession of knowledge going back to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if the scholars differed or two people of knowledge differed, we should refer the matter to the Quran and the Sunnah. This is always the way of the past and the present. What the scholars, they've always mentioned that we should always refer matters back to the Quran and Sunnah if there's any difference of opinion. Using the media to give dawah. Should we use the media to give dawah? Yes. Using the media, television, radio, newspaper, magazines, whatever way we can confront the misconceptions about Islam, this is very effective, especially for non-Muslims. To reach the non-Muslims, to use the media. How else are we going to convey the message to the non-Muslims? They don't come to the masjids. We have to bring the message to them. No. So also the people in authority, the Muslim rulers, this is their obligation. The rulers of Muslim rulers, they have to use the media to spread Islam. Now we come to a very good topic. I'm glad that the brothers are here, the young brothers. And this topic is on the role of the youth in the spread of Islam. The youth. You think the youth have an important role in spreading and giving da'wah? In fact, the youth are the backbone of the da'wah. Without the youth, no society or nation can ever be reformed. Because it's the youth that have the energy and the strength to convey the message and the enthusiasm. However, the youth, they have to be guided by the wisdom of the elders. Because the youth, they have the hastiness. They're very hasty, very eager. They need to consult with the elders, people who have experience, right? So that it can be effective. The youth have the energy, but in order to get the wisdom, they should consult with the elders. So the youth have always had an important role. From the beginning days of Islam, the youth were the ones that were the ones who spread Islam, and they had the greatest zeal, and they were the ones who spread Islam to the furthest horizons. All over the earth, the youth, they had that role. So the youth have a very important role. Question here is, when should a person distance himself from sin? You're giving da'wah to a person, he's doing sins openly. Openly sinning. And he invites you to his house, come have dinner. Or he gives you a present. Should you cut yourself off, or should you keep the connection to that person? This is a question that is brought up in the books of fiqh, or in the books that the scholars asked, the fatawa. So what the ulama, they say, is that, generally speaking, one should give advice and try to advise a person, but if that does not bring benefit, and it's thought that by cutting oneself off from the person, it might be a means of showing disapproval of what he's doing. Somebody, they invite you for dinner, and they earn a majority of the wealth is from haram. It's allowable to go there and give them da'wah, because the scholars say that the Prophet ﷺ accepted gifts and invitations from the Jews. But in certain cases, it might be wise to avoid going there as a means of showing him or being disapproving the haram that he's doing. And the Prophet ﷺ, you might know the story of Ka'b ibn Malik, who stayed behind the expedition. So the Sahaba, they were told to cut themselves off, not even say salam to those three Sahaba until their tawbah was accepted. So in certain cases, it might be wise to cut off. Most of the time, it's more wise to keep the connection and try to call them to Islam. But if by not going to the invitation or by cutting oneself off, that it will show the disapproval for the sin that they're openly doing, that might be wise in certain cases. You see how that works? With the cutting off? Okay. The Prophet ﷺ used bullet points. For Ka'b ibn Malik, he cut him off from the Sahaba. For Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salun, the head of the Munafiqeen in Medina, he kept the connections with him. And he kept the ties with him because he was a leader in the Medina. And by cutting him off, then a lot of the other people would have been cut off from Islam. So in order to bring the hearts of his followers to Islam, he treated him in a nice way, even though he was a munafiq, the head of the munafiq. See that? So it would take, a person would have to judge it. But kindness is always recommended. Okay, just a couple more points, inshallah. May Allah reward you, brothers, for learning the ilm, inshallah ta'ala. What are the mistakes of the da'i? Do da'is make mistakes? Yes. What are the mistakes of the da'i? Number one, anybody have any guesses?
Saying something wrong.
Very good. That was the second one I was going to speak about. Speaking without knowledge. But before that, being extreme. Extremism, wudu in the deen. Allah says, we're experiencing now, alhamdulillah, revival of Islam, but there are certain groups and certain people that espouse ideologies that are extreme and away from the path of ulama, especially amongst the youth. So exaggerating and exceeding the limits. The Prophet ﷺ said, O people, beware of extremism and exceeding the limits, for nothing destroyed the people before you except extremism. The extremism in the religion. And he also said, حَلَكَ الْمُتَنَطِّعُونَ. The extremists are destroyed. He said it three times. Extremists are destroyed, extremists are destroyed. So extremism in calling to Islam, that will lead to destruction. And Allah says, يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ. O people of the book, do not be extreme in your religion. How did the people of the book go to extremes? They made Isa into the son of Allah Ta'ala. So going away from the path of Islam. Speaking without knowledge. Who said it over here? Right? MashaAllah. Speaking without knowledge. Speaking without knowledge is very, very dangerous. The halal and haram, things like that, the rulings. One should restrain himself and say, Allahu A'lam. If somebody doesn't have knowledge on an issue, ask the people of knowledge. فَسَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. The companions, whenever the Prophet ﷺ asked them some questions, do you know what the right of Allah is on His servants? What are they saying? Allah and His Messenger know best. That was their habit when they spoke. Number three, the mistakes of the da'i, accusing somebody of kufr or sin without evidence. Going up to somebody, a Muslim person, saying you're a kafir, or saying you're a fasiq without any evidence from the Quran, so just saying that. And the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever accuses another person of kufr, then it goes to one of the two. If that person is really kafir, it goes to him. If not, it goes back on the one who said it. It returns upon one of them. Now, so this is a strong warning that a person, they should not accuse others of disbelief without evidence, or being sinful without knowledge and understanding. We should guard our tongues. The fourth mistake of the da'i is what? Being too hasty. Being too hasty. Being very hasty. How many calamities came to the Muslims due to being hasty? The fifth is being biased to one particular group without sticking to the Quran and the Sunnah. Another of the mistakes of the da'i, and this is a very dangerous one, is dividing and differing. Splitting up into groups and differing and bickering and fighting over things that are valid differences of opinion amongst the ulama, that matters of ijtihad. So Allah, He says, help each other to righteousness and piety. Ta'awanu al birri wa taqwa. Be helpers to one another, not fighting amongst one another. If you differ in anything, return it to the Book of Allah and the Messenger. Stay away from following the desires. This is what will bring the people together. Helping each other, tawasul bil haqqi wa tawasul bis sabr, and staying away from the whims and desires and the lusts and the hawa. Do not support somebody just because he agrees with you. Somebody agrees with you, you support him. And if he doesn't agree with you, you're against him. Even if you might be wrong. That shouldn't be our attitude. We should always seek knowledge. As persons seeking to give da'wah, seeking the reading the books of knowledge is very, very important. Quran, the Sunnah, the Hadith, Bulugh al-Maram, Riyad al-Salihin, the books of Ibn Qayyim, Ibn Taymiyyah, the four Madahib, Ahmad, Shafi, Malik, Abu Hanifa, very, very important. Also, we should not fight over issues that there's difference of opinion. We should not ignore the evils that are being done. We have to refute them. We cannot keep silent about the evil that is being done. We should visit one another for the sake of Allah. Whoever does that, then Allah says, my love is guaranteed for those who love each other for my sake, who visit each other for my sake, who sit together for my sake, and give things to each other for my sake. Women, should they give da'wah?
Yes.
Yeah, to other women. If they give da'wah to men, they should wear the full hijab and not beautify their voices. They should beware of things that will cause her to be mockery. Or she should not let the mockery of other women deter her. A woman, if people make fun of her for giving da'wah, she should not let that deter her. keep patient, keep giving da'wah. She should maintain her hijab, and she should not give the women an excuse by saying, why don't you start with yourself first? She should be upright herself. She should not wear clothing that would distract people. And Khadija, you saw her role in the da'wah when the Prophet ﷺ came to her. She reassured him that he was on the right path. When Angel Jibreel came to him, see the important role that Khadija played. She should advise women to wear the hijab and cover their beauties from the Quran and the Sunnah, the many texts about it, and advise them away from the haram. People who are following deviant ideas, we should deter them by the clear proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah. How do we fight the destructive organized attempt to destroy Islam? The scholars say that we should refute it with clear evidence from the Quran and Sunnah. And something very important is that the people of falsehood work and are active only where there's lack of knowledge and ignorance. The people of falsehood will only be successful when there's lack of knowledge and ignorance. So if people have ignorance, then we have to counteract that. We have to expose their networks. This is an organized attempt to undermine Islam. Expose their networks, their organizations, the activities they have. We have to expose that. And finally, the last point, inshallah, jazakallahu khair for staying to the end, is that, in summary, how do we confront the enemies of Islam? Number one, with knowledge. With understanding the rulings and the jurisprudence and the fiqh and the sharia, we should teach our children this from a young age. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu in tansurullah yansurukum. Oh, you will believe, if you give victory to Allah, He will give you victory. We should raise a generation who is prepared with knowledge and knows the reality of Islam. This begins in our homes, with our families. We educate them, and this will, inshallah, improve the society and lead to great Muslim leaders who will, inshallah, bring about Islam in the future. If you've done what you could, then leave the rest up to Allah. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. It's not upon you to guide them, Allah guides whom He pleases. You did your best, you explained the clear proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah, the wisdom, and you gave all your effort sincerely in your best way, then you leave it up to Allah Ta'ala. And finally, we advise you, and the Shaykh advises us to cooperate with one another in bir and taqwa, to gain knowledge and fiqh. Whoever Allah gives fiqh of the religion, this is a sign of His love for him. Whoever treads a path seeking knowledge, Allah will make his path to Jannah easy for him. We ask Allah to make this Muslim successful, to guide us, and to help us to establish the rules and be firmly upon the Islamic law and the Sharia, and to forbid what is haram, and advise each other to do what is good. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa jazakumullahu khairan wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. May Allah reward all of you, inshallah ta'ala, and may Allah accept from the Shaykh for this very beneficial book, Shaykh Abdullah ibn Ba'ad, inshallah. Any questions before we finish? Inshallah. If you can just be patient for 1 minute. Brothers, youth, come here, brothers. Come, just wait 1 minute, inshallah. We'll just have 2 minutes for questions. Yes, brothers, follow.
Yes, like, let's say you get invited to a wedding, and you know for sure there's going to be music there.
You don't have to answer the invitation, but if you're a person of influence, like a leader in the family, an elder or an imam or a scholar, and you go there, you can give da'wah to the people and tell them to stop that evil. You'll get two rewards, one for going and one for stopping the evil. But if you know that you go there, you won't be able to stop the evil, you'll be influenced by it, then it's better to avoid it.
Like, even if it's a very close family member.
You tell them the reason why. You can go the day before, or you can explain to them, but you shouldn't go there. Or you go quickly and just say salam and give a present and leave. But it shouldn't be where one is influenced by that environment, inshallah. JazakAllah khair. Any other questions? Inshallah ta'ala.
Yeah, the question about like buying a house.
Yes.
If you buy a house here, let's say you don't have access to the Islamic banking system, so you want to buy a house here, want to get money for your business, so you can't use the avenue of you going to the bank. So what avenue do you go to?
You can try to, here, if you want to get investment money, you can try to do a cooperative investment, like a partnership. what they call mudaraba, where it's partners in a, you know, you get investors. Different types of mudaraba we're going to cover in the fiqh of business. Some mudaraba, you just do the work and other people invest. There's that type. Or each person, they give a part and they invest in it. Or you can do what somebody can buy something like a store and sell it back to you on payments in an Islamic way, like owner finance without riba. You could do that. You buy the store from a Muslim and say, I want owner financing, no riba. And then you make payments to them, and then you get the deed for the property. Things like that. You can find alternatives, inshallah.
Let's say you've already purchased a property and do the wrong deed.
Right. If you have a riba-based loan, you can try to change it to an Islamic loan. That would be better. If you can get like an Islamic bank to refinance it, that would be better under the Islamic laws, inshallah. That way you can get out of that. But you make tawbah, inshallah, for what happened in the past. If you're stuck in that, you can't get out of it, then inshallah, you try your best, and inshallah, you make tawbah, that you fulfill the conditions of tawbah, that you regret it, you stop it, you won't do it again in the future, you have that resolve, then if you're forced to pay the riba, then inshallah, Allah will forgive you after that, inshallah. Yes, go ahead.
I heard about tawbah. What's the difference between tawbah ilallah and tawbah alallah?
Tawbah alallah? Yatubu Allahu alayhim. Allah, He turns to you in tawbah. And you turn to Allah in tawbah. There's both. You know, Allah, if you turn to Allah, He will turn to you. Innama, Allah will turn to you if you turn to Him. Inshallah. Tawbah, I'm not familiar with tawbah. Allah, and Allah yatubu alayna. Allahumma tuba alayna. Means, oh Allah, turn to us with your forgiveness, your rahmah. We can say that. But we turn to Allah. Natubu ilallah. We turn to Allah by repenting for what we've done. Inshallah. JazakAllah khair. Any other questions? InshaAllah, no other questions? JazakAllah khairan. Brother, you have a question about something?
No, I
don't. Okay, JazakAllah khair. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Rabbana taqabbal minna. Wallahu ta'ala alam. JazakAllah khair. Bring your friends and family next time, inshaAllah. They all benefit, inshaAllah. It's da'wah too, inshaAllah. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Don't be shy.
I'll go all night. That's okay. No, that's okay. What was the question?